Welcome back. Some good news for Celtics fans on this game day of game two ahead of the Eastern Conference Finals. Al Horford, after being COVID protocol, is available for tonight. And on the line, we have Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe on the Harbor One hotline. He joins us from Miami. Gary, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going? How's it going, Megan?
Doing well. So I have to ask you about this because you just put this tweet out about 6 minutes ago about how Al Horford benefited from a new COVID-19 protocol that was added on April 30th about when the players can be tested on a game day. Can you just walk us through how that works?
Well, on April 30th, they kind of threw a new wrinkle into the protocol that says if a player tests negative twice on a game day, then he's eligible to play that night. And I think that was for kind of the playoffs, obviously. I mean, to give players a chance, as much chance to come back and play as they possibly can. And let's say he had tested negative this morning, and, you know, it would have been he would have had to wait till tomorrow to test negative again. But I guess they figured out that if he tests negative twice in the same day, a game day, he's eligible to play. So he tested negative, obviously, sometime after shoot-around, where he was upgraded to questionable. Then he tested negative again this afternoon, and he's been cleared to play.
Have you got any details down there from anybody close to the team or within the organization about whether he actually showed any symptoms or anything like that? Like, has he been feeling well?
Yeah, that's the thing. There is kind of some mystery here where players who are vaccinated but also boosted don't have to test. Coach Ime Udoka said that Horford had no symptoms. So obviously he's testing. Doesn't mean he's not vaccinated. Probably means he's not boosted. Or, you know, he's maybe between booster shots. That could be the possibility here of why he's tested, because now the league does not test every day like it used to in the last several months. It tests, you test if you have symptoms. He did not have symptoms. He felt fine, but obviously he contracted it.
Okay.
Now, you know, when did he get it? And I can't say he for sure contracted it. It might have been a false positive. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
so
obviously he tested negative today in order to play.
Okay, so that's the good news on one of the guys that they need, obviously. Okay, the next guy is Marcus Smart. Any updates, any information on him?
Yeah, it looks like he'll play unless something unforeseen happens in pregame warm-ups, and he'll go out there and test it out. But he participated in shoot-around, which was a good sign. So it looks like he'll be available to play. So the Celtics will have their starting lineup. They'll miss Derek White, who flew back to Boston for the birth of his first child.
So, Gary, with Derek White out, we were talking about this earlier, because he and Peyton Pritchard kind of had those minutes, and it seemed like, you know, up in the game, defense, Derek White, back in the game, you know, behind, maybe try to get Pritchard hot, his shot. Do you expect Aaron Nesmith to kind of be that defensive kind of guy that gets some minutes, those Derek White minutes as well?
Yeah, Christian, I think he's earned minutes. I mean, you know, Nesmith is a guy who has come and was expected to be this kind of knockdown shooter, the shooter that the team has desperately needed to come off the bench and hit shots. And it hasn't worked out that way, but he plays damn hard. I mean, he plays with hair on fire, and that's what they needed in game one. You know, he had some block shots. He played some defense. Now he committed a couple of silly fouls, but they need his energy. So I think he'll get some minutes, obviously, with Derek White out. I mean, Derek White did not have a very good defensive game. I thought he started out fine on Max Strus, but he kind of let go of the rope in the second half where Gabe Vincent and Strus were both burning him, and then he only scored 3 points. So I think if you put Nesmith in White's spot, you probably get the same offensive production. I mean, I think Nesmith's capable of hitting a three-pointer or two, and then you'll get that, like, added defensive element because he'll play hard. He'll run the floor. He's not going to do what some of the other guys did in game one when the third quarter went downhill. Was kind of like relent.
Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe joining us on the Harbor One hotline. So obviously in game one of the worst quarters in Celtics playoffs history. Do you think that Al Horford makes a bigger difference, I guess, in a basketball sense, being back on the court today? Or is it even bigger in a leadership sense in the terms of helping guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown from allowing a 22-2 run happen like that. I think Tatum used the term snowball, that he felt like it just snowballed on them.
Yeah, I think it'll be a combination of both. I think they need his interior presence to play defense against a guy like Bam Adebayo. The one thing about Robert Williams, and he's a strong defender, is sometimes he gets out of position. As you saw the other night, Jimmy Butler pump fake, gets Robert to jump 8 feet in the air, draws a foul. Like, you can't do, you've got to be disciplined defensively against the Heat, especially with the way those guys kind of just are, they're disciplined themselves with Butler. Butler scores and gets the free throw line on those pump fakes. Same with Adebayo. You can't get out of position. I think Horford brings that defensive discipline that they needed, that maybe, you know, like Grant Williams didn't have, and obviously Robert Williams didn't have. I think that helps. And also, like you said, the leadership off on the bench, calming guys down, like, hey, we can't let this get away from us. I thought that the game sort of got away at the end of the second quarter when they took a 13-point lead and they didn't build on it. It got down to 8. Then suddenly they didn't score for the first 7 minutes, and it just kind of – it was a disaster. And they can't let that happen in game 2. They've got to come out more disciplined tonight, because as you saw, what I saw firsthand in the bubble, the Heat was a tougher team. And that was the case in game 1.
Yeah, you know what? They were. I think, you know, physically and mentally, I felt like – and I feel like last time we talked to you, Gary – everything that happened was everything that you said that they had kind of grown out of, that we all thought they had grown out of, right? They were all older. You know, Robert Williams is older. Everybody's older, yet they kind of fell into this trap where they just kind of, like, you know, their backs were against the wall and they wouldn't punch back. Now, is that just because they got frustrated and irritated, or and they just threw their hands up, or is it because Jimmy Butler became Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I think Jimmy Butler became Jimmy Butler, and then they don't. It's sort of like they thought they were in a Milwaukee series. Like, Jimmy Butler reads passing lanes. I mean, you're a football guy. You know, you get the guys that go for the interceptions, that take chances. Hey, they'll get beat deep, but they're going to lead the league in interceptions. That's Jimmy Butler. He's going to read the passing lanes. He's going to read your eyes. He's going to take some chances defensively. And when Tatum comes up and throws those lazy passes, that they're going to get picked off. I mean, you can't do that. You've got to play with more discipline. You know, and I just thought, like, they just got pushed around. You know, I don't want to say punked, or I'll say it, I guess. They got punked. I mean, they got pushed around. You know, the Heat started hitting shots. The defense started slipping. And then, as this team has had trouble with all season, they let a lack of offense affect their defense. So shots don't go down. They put their heads down. Tatum goes to the rim. Thinks he gets fouled, then stops and goes, where's my call? Fast break down the floor. Dunk. Like, you just can't do these. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, you can do that in a Tuesday night against Minnesota. You cannot do that in May against Miami.
All right, talking to Gary Washburn here of the Boston Globe. And Gary, you know, it was very similar. I know it was a little different as far as game 1 against the Bucks, where they just, you know, they weren't ready for the physicality. And I kind of feel like we get another rebound game here, especially from Jaylen Brown. What did you make of his game? Because you watch it and the handle is all everyone is talking about, carelessness with the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that he had an issue with early in his career, because he thought he could just be more of an athlete than everybody, and guys would just reach in and knock the ball off his hip. And then he improved on his dribble, but now it's still an issue where he goes to the free throw line, or sorry, goes to the rim, and he either gets stripped or he sometimes even just loses the ball, and he just is careless with the ball. And to me, also with his free throw shooting, he's a guy who's going to get fouled a lot. He can't go 50% from the line. He can't miss 4 or 5 free throws in a tight game. I mean, if they had hit their free throws, it would have been a 1 or 2 possession game down the stretch. But, you know, Jaylen kind of got himself together in the fourth quarter, but they need him to be more steady. And he can't slip so much defensively. He can't just lose guys. You know, I mean, they're going to target him. When Jimmy Butler gets the ball, they're going to target Jaylen, just like Giannis targeted Jaylen in the Milwaukee series. They're going to prove that Jaylen Brown is a plus defender like people say he is. And he's got to play like that. He can't. You know, he can't get distracted. He can't lose his man. He can't lose a guy off the screen. He has literally got to be more aware, and he's got to be better.
Gary, young guy Grant Williams, he was pivotal in a couple games in that 7-game series against the Bucks. What did you think of his performance in the first game? It looked like he got a little distracted and frustrated in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, he got into it. I mean, Udoka doesn't, you know, he's not Brad Stevens. He'll let you know right on the bench if he has an issue with your performance. And I think Grant just got too much into trying to do – sometimes Grant does a little too much, and I think that was the case in game one. I don't think anyone expected he was going to hit 7 threes like he did in game seven, but he just got to be steady. And then he got into a lot of, you know, being out of position, trying to just being a little overactive in a sense, and it leads to mistakes. And Grant's not effective when he's picking up 2-3 fouls here, when he's trying to take a charge here and he shouldn't. Like, he's got to be steadier, and he's got to be better. He's got to be a threat from the outside. He's got to knock down a three-pointer or two. And that was not so good Grant Williams. Sometimes you get really, really good Grant Williams defensively against Giannis in that series, hitting those threes in game seven. And other times you get kind of mistake-filled Grant Williams. And game one was mistake-filled Grant Williams.
Okay, well, Gary, thank you for joining us. Hopefully we get that other Grant Williams. But we are happy to have Al Horford back if you're a Celtics fan, right?
Yeah, good news for them. They're almost a full roster, so let's see what happens tonight.
All right, thank you so much, Gary. Thanks, Gary. Have fun down there in Miami.
Thanks, guys.